Blog Talk Radio.
Some good news tonight, which is the best news that we've had in a while, and I just want to let you know about it. It's a Lieutenant Michael Behenna, and hang in there and I'll tell you the whole story. Former U.S. Army First Lieutenant Michael Behenna has won parole and will be released from Fort Leavenworth on March the 14th, his mother Vicki Behenna said Wednesday. Behenna, who was convicted of unpremeditated murder in a combat zone, how does that grab you, learned early Wednesday morning and called his parents in Oklahoma City. "We didn't send the military to Iraq. We sent the police department." "We go between tears and laughing," Vicki Behenna of Edmond told the Oklahoman. "I'm just so thankful. I'm just so very thankful. It's wonderful." Behenna, 30 years old, has served 5 years of a 15-year prison sentence. He was convicted in 2009 of killing an Iraqi man connected to Al-Qaeda while questioning him. This was his first year of eligibility for parole. He had to write a letter entitled, "I regret taking another human being's life." What he should have wrote, but he would have gotten the full 10 more years, is, "I regret joining this army that betrayed me." There's another article that says, "Mercy, justice overdue in Michael Behenna case." And here's the one. This is the media that's electing the president. Here's their article. Oklahoma soldier Michael Behenna has paid for his war crime. How's that? He went to save American lives, and he's charged with a war crime by the government who ordered him to go to the battlefield. His parents, Vicky and Scott, and brother Brett appeared last month before the U.S. Army Clemency and Parole Board outside Washington and presented the members with a 400-page report that included a letter from Michael. Letters, you think that parole board read those 400 pages? Letter from Michael, letters of support from Governor Mary Fallon and members of the congressional delegation and law enforcement officials. The family told the board that Michael would work on a western Oklahoma cattle ranch and take classes at Oklahoma State University in ranch operations. They came and got him about 7:30 this morning and gave him a letter to read, Vicky Behenna said. The letter said his request for clemency, a reduction in sentence, had been denied, but his request for a patrol had been parole had been granted. Should be patrol, because that's where they sent him and screwed him. Yeah, they wouldn't give him clemency, right? So here's 5 years he rotted in jail. He gets no combat pay for being in Fort Leavenworth. He gets no torture pay for being in Fort Leavenworth. And no matter how good they treated him there, it was torture. Your mind is ruptured. Vicky said, I think he's in shock. I started crying immediately when he told me. Of course, over the phone, I see his expression. He would kind of go, yeah, it's good, Mom, it's good. She said he immediately expressed concern about two fellow inmates that are still rotting there. There's about 14 that have been sent to Fort Leavenworth as a favor to Al-Qaeda, and nothing is being done to free them. From Abu Ghraib to today. From Abu Ghraib to today, I blame George Bush for not picking up the pen and the phone and pardoning these guys. There's no reason that we have to play politically correct with Muslim terrorists. And we're selling out the best of the best. When we don't leave them in Benghazi, we send them on missions in choppers that crash and areas that don't get prepped before CH-47 lands, and 30 guys lose their lives because you got a politically correct Pentagon. The only time I ever see this dumpster Dempsey in combat, he's playing basketball in Washington. And that Admiral Lemon, he made a statement once, he would never attack Iran. Yeah, now Iran is coming here. Yeah, they're looking for Admiral Lemon. Unbelievable. And Admiral Lemon, Dempster Dempsey, Leon Pinheda, and Judge Pickering all signed off on the murder of 4 Americans in Benghazi. And they covered it up. They covered it up more than the New York Times, Newsweek, NBC, ABC, CBS. And that's who elects your president. You're looking at the crew. And that's why we're in trouble. No man in his right mind is going to join the military, having seen what they're doing to these guys once they get them overseas, and use them as bargaining chips for the siege of Fallujah, or for the trial of Lieutenant Behenna. When the first GI deployed, I swore that I would never let what happened to the Vietnam vets happen to these guys who went to avenge 911. But unfortunately, we're up against a bad-run government, and they intend to hurt the military. They'll starve them out, and they'll sell them out. And they got to be stopped. Welcome home, Lieutenant Behenna. We missed you for too long. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Bartender, a champagne. I have a coupon. Mm-hmm.
skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue birds singing a song. Nothing but blue skies from now on. I never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, my, how they fly by. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue days all are gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on. Blue skies smile at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Days all and gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on. Blue skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue sky from now on.
We all live to see blue skies under the regime of the Caliph, the 12th Imam. Yes, Indonesia, Obama. Oh man, are we in trouble? We're in trouble. As a buddy of mine used to say, we're all up the fat lady's burqa. Oh God.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. And welcome home, Lieutenant de Bahena. And while I'm listening to blue skies, and I'm sure you were listening for blue skies and looking for blue skies, I'm thinking about the 5 years that you did in prison. And, you know, it's sort of like it's sort of ironic. You know, you trained in the military if you were ever taken to escape and evade, and only give your name, rank, and serial number no matter how much they tortured you. Could you imagine if you had stood before that court-martial and refused to give them any information except your name, rank, and social, and your service number? Yeah, right, because you were in a enemy hands. It is really sad. I hope God compensates you for your sacrifice, which was 10 times more than anybody could ever expect from a human being. thank you for your service, and you're still doing time in the military. Until you get justice, you're still doing time in the military. Now I'm going to turn from Lieutenant Pahana, and we're going to go see Abe Lincoln, because the communists screwed Abe out of a birthday. They took Abe and George, and they said, no more are we going to look up to American role models. We're just going to have President's Day so that people like President Pinocchio Pants and Obama bin Laden can be included in the celebration. Sorry, there's no room in the inn for those guys. We only take heroes. So, happy birthday, Abe Lincoln.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Abraham Lincoln. Happy birthday to you. Two of the greatest presidents born in February, and they used to have separate birthdays. Now they're lumped under President's Day. Before you know it, they'll have President Clinton in there. Yes, the artful dodger. No, my friends, we want real heroes. We don't want the ones that the communist media feeds us, and we sop it up like cats licking milk. Yeah, what a disgrace. Abraham Lincoln was a man for his time. Humble, and he lived through a problem, and he never blamed anybody. It was, when it was good news, it was his good news, and when it was bad news, it was his bad news. The guy, he came from nothing to become a senator. He had some business failures, and he paid all his debts. Right up until the day he died, he was paying off old bills. Much like Harry Truman. Harry Truman, when he left office, still had a mortgage on his very humble house. Yeah, there was no war chest that he walked out the door with, and no champagne contributions that he stuck in his pocket. Harry Truman served the American people with love and dignity, as did Abraham Lincoln, who freed the slaves. So we're going to give a tune in honor of President Lincoln, who took a bullet for his country, and who gave us that great one little pager, Gettysburg Address. And if I find it, I'll read it. Hang in there, boys and girls.
My brave lad sleeps in his faded coat of blue. In a lonely grave unknown lies the heart that beats so true. He sang faint and hungry among the famished brave, and they laid him sad and lonely within his nameless grave. No more the bugle calls the weary one. Rest, noble spirit, in thy grave unknown. I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given for the faded coat of blue. And just a little crumb. And my mother, she will bless you through all the years to come. Oh, tell my sweet sister, so gentle, good and true, that I'll meet her up in heaven in my faded coat of blue. No more the bugle calls the weary one. Rest, noble spirit, in thy grave unknown. I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given for a faded coat of blue. Yet my heart with startling beat, with each footfall at my door, I gaze over the hill where he waves a last adieu. But no gallant lad I see in his faded coat of blue. No more the bugle calls the weary one. Rest, noble spirit, in thy grave unknown. I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given,
here are the events around the Gettysburg Address that took place the day they consecrated that ground. First they had music, then they had a prayer, then they had a music again by the Marine Band, the Old Hundred. Then they had an oration entitled The Battles of Gettysburg. Then they had more music, a hymn, a consecration chant by B.B. French, Esquire, music by Wilson Horner, sung by the Baltimore Glee Club. Then they had a dirge. They had dedicatory remarks by the President of the United States. Then they had the dirge. Oh, it's great for our country to die. And the words by James C. Percival, music by Alan Delaney, sung by choir selected for the occasion. Then they had benediction by Reverend H. L. Bauer, a D.D. Lincoln's short speech has gone down in history as one of the finest examples of English public oratory. It was Everett's two-hour oration that was slated to be the Gettysburg Address that day. His now seldom read 13,000-word oration began, standing beneath this serene sky overlooking those broad fields now reposing from the labors of the waning year, the mighty Alleghenies dimly towering before us, the graves of our brethren beneath our feet. It is with hesitation that I raise my poor voice to break the eloquent silence of God and nature. But the duty to which you have called me must be performed. Grant me, I pray you, your indulgence and your sympathy. And ended 2 hours later with, but they, I am sure, will join us in saying as we bid farewell to the dust of these martyr heroes, that wheresoever through the civilized world the accounts of this great warfare are read, and down to the latest period of recorded time in the glorious annals of our common country, there will be no brighter page than that which relates the Battle of Gettysburg. Lengthy dedication addresses like Everett's were common at cemeteries in this era. The tradition began in 1831 when Justice Joseph Story delivered the dedication address to Mount Auburn Cemetery in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He was long-winded. And along comes Abe, humble Abe, and he opens up a one-pager. And the one-pager is remembered by all. And as soon as I find it, I will read it to you. I thought I had it real handy. I guess I didn't. Hang in there. It is so brief, I missed it. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives, that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, and we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they have fought here, have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, and that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Amen. We'll be right back. Here's a little background on Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, February 12, 1809 to April 15, 1865, was the 16th President of the United States, serving from March 1861 until his assassination in April 1865. Lincoln led the United States through its Civil War, its bloodiest war and its greatest moral, constitutional, and political crisis. In doing so, he preserved the Union, abolished slavery, strengthened the national government, and modernized the economy. Reared in a poor family on the western frontier, Lincoln was a self-educated lawyer in Illinois, a Whig Party leader, state legislator during the 1830s, and a one-term member of the Congress during the 1840s. He promoted rapid modernization of the economy through banks, canals, railroads, and tariffs to encourage the building of factories. He opposed the war with Mexico in 1846. After a series of highly publicized debates in 1858, which he opposed the expansion of slavery, Lincoln lost the U.S. Senate to his arch-rival Democrat Stephen A. Douglas. Lincoln, a moderate from a swing state, secured the Republican Party presidential nomination in 1860 with almost no support in the South. Lincoln swept the North and was elected president in 1860. His election prompted seven Southern states to form the Confederacy. No compromise, no reconciliation was found regarding slavery. When the North enthusiastically rallied behind the national flag after the Confederate attack on Fort Sumter, on April the 12th, 1861, Lincoln concentrated on the military and political dimensions of the war effort. His goal was to reunite the nation. He suspended habeas corpus, arresting and temporarily detaining thousands of suspected secessionists in the border states without trial. Lincoln averted British intervention by defusing the Trent Affair in late 1861. His numerous complex moves toward ending slavery centered on the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, using the army to protect escaped slaves, encouraging the border states to outlaw slavery, and helping push through Congress the 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution, which permanently outlawed slavery. Lincoln closely supervised the war effort, especially the selection of top generals, including Commanding General Ulysses S. Grant. He made the major decisions on Union war strategy. Lincoln's Navy set up a naval blockade that shut down the South's normal trade, helped take control of Kentucky and Tennessee, and gained control of the Southern River system using gunboats. He tried repeatedly to capture the Confederate capital at Richmond. Each time a general failed, Lincoln substituted another until finally Grant succeeded in 1865. An exceptionally astute politician, deeply involved with war issues in each state, Lincoln reached out to war Democrats who supported the North against the South and managed his own re-election in the 1864 presidential election. As the leader of the modern faction of the Republican Party, confronted radical Republicans who demanded harsher treatment of the South, war Democrats who called for more compromise, copperheads who despised him, and irreconcilable secessionists who plotted his death. Politically, Lincoln fought back with patronage by pitting his opponents against each other and by appealing to the American people with his powers of oratory. His Gettysburg Address of 1863 became an iconic statement of America's dedication to the principles of nationalism, republicanism, equal rights, liberty, and democracy. Lincoln held a modern view of Reconstruction, seeking to reunite the nation speedily through a policy of generous reconciliation in the face of lingering and bitter divisiveness. 6 days after the surrender of Confederate commanding general Robert E. Lee, Lincoln was assassinated by a Confederate sympathizer. Lincoln has been consistently ranked both by scholars and the public as one of the greatest presidents of the United States. And that's why he's on Mount Rushmore. And you'll never see Obama or Hillary Clinton there. Maybe a memorial to Benghazi. People like Lincoln and Washington have inspired us down to today, and the spirit of America, their spirit of America, lives in us, and we must never forget who we are as Americans, and the only reason that we are free and alive today is because of the spirit of America, and when we lose that spirit, we will lose our lives. And we will lose our country. Both Lincoln and Washington fought to preserve one United States. And anybody who divides us is our enemy. And divide and conquer is an old Roman tactic, and it is used today in the United States by what used to be a party of the people. The Democrat Party is now the Communist Party. And all the only tactics they use are to take tax money and buy votes and to divide the nation, splinter it up into many little subgroups. That is not America. America is one fist. The fingers are different, but the hand is the same. And the thing that binds us together is the love of God and the love of country. And those who would destroy us will divide us, and they must be stopped like a bad cancer. Lincoln's term in office was 4 short years. And at the end of his term in office, he died in the same month he was born. But he gave us a new country and a resolve that we should never split apart again. And two great battle flags waved during this conflict, the Stars and the Bars and the Stars and Stripes. And they are both sacred to people, and they should never be mocked or defamed. The Stars and the Bars is the symbol of American independence, as is the Stars and the Stripes. And the majority of people that fought the Civil War were fighting for states' rights and a united America. And we must never forget that. And we must never let the communists play North against South, man against woman, American against American. We got to put an end to that. I'm going to close this salute with a funeral march to remind us the price that this president paid so that we could all be free and be the strongest nation on the face of the earth, not by a politician's description, but by the blood that has sown the land and other lands. And wherever we go, freedom comes with us. God bless the United States and the great spirit of America.
Here's a tune about betrayal.
You young rebels, and list while I sing. For the love of one's country is a terrible thing. It banishes fear with the speed of a flame, and it makes us all part Patriot game. My name is O'Hanlon, and I'm just gone 16. My home is in Monaghan, where I was weaned. I've learned all my life cruel England to blame, and so I'm a part of the Patriot game. It's barely 2 years since I wandered away with a local battalion of the bold IRA. I'd read of our heroes, and I wanted the same, to play off my part in the Patriot game. This island of ours has for long been half free. 6 counties are under John Bull's tyranny. So I gave up my boyhood to drill and to train, to play my own part in the Patriot game. And now body all holds. I think of those traitors who bargained and sold. I wish that my rifle had given the same to those quislings who sold out the patriot game.
Just you know why you and I will by and by know true love why. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just you and I know true love why. Throughout the day, our true love why will bring us joy with those who really care. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why, just you and I know true love.
Choose
to win or lose, and it's time we started winning.
Steal away, let's steal away. No reason left to stay. For me and you, let's start anew, and darling, steal away,
steal away, let's steal away, no reason left to stay.
Vaya con Dios, my darling. my love. Wherever you may be, I'll be beside you. Although you're many million dreams away, great tomorrow, but the memories we share are there to borrow. Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios, my darling.
Dot did it, did dot, did it, did it, did dot, did it, did dot, did it, did it, did dot, did it, did dot, did it, did it, did dot, did it, baby, come home to me.
Did dot, did it, dot, did it,
did dot, did it, did dot, did it, did dot, did it, did dot, did it,
did it, did it, did it, did it, did it, did it.
Show, folks. We'll close with a little resurrection music.